Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Time for another edition of Garden Talk. And this week we are zeroing in on succulent plants, both indoor and outdoor plants. Great to be thinking about succulents this time of the year, isn't it? We've had some warm weather across Wisconsin today. It's a little cooler, a little colder, but always fun, I think, to think about those wonderful plants. Dan Maher is our guest today. He's an emeritus professor of entomology at the UW-Madison, but he is also a lover of succulent plants, an expert with them, and has raised succulents and worked with them for years and years and years. And it's great to have him with us today to answer your questions about them, and I hope you'll join in. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234 with your questions, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to the Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and you can post there or comment there on things that are going on. I know there are some things I've got to get up on my Facebook page here during the show and take a look and see what's going on. I know Judith Sears-Poisson will be doing that as well. So lots of fun today talking about succulents. And Dan Maher, welcome.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be back. Talking about something totally different this time.
Yeah, we always talk about insects when you're on.
That's right.
Now, how did you get interested in succulents?
That goes back a long time, Larry. I've actually been growing succulent plants for over 50 years. I grew up in Southern California. On my grandparents' farm, my grandmother, in fact, both my grandparents, had a real interest in ornamental horticulture. And my grandmother had a beautiful rose garden, and the two of them traveled back in the really old days, you know, the late 1800s, early 1900s, around Southern California, and they collected plants and collected plants, cuttings from friends, and they had a wonderful cactus garden. And I think I was born a biologist. And from my earliest days, I had an interest in just the colors and the textures and the way these plants look. And that has stuck with me for my entire life.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's great to have an avocation like that.
That's right. That's right. It keeps me thinking about other things on occasion.
Well, how many different succulents do you have? Do you have an idea? You know?
I don't know. My wife and I have a small south-facing greenhouse attached to our house.
Yeah.
And I know that this time of the year, it is just totally too crowded. most of those plants move outside for the summertime. But for about 9 months of the year, they get crowded in. Most of them are dormant this time of the year, so it's not a big issue. But the number is up in the many hundreds.
How do you define a succulent plant? What is your definition?
That's a really good question. And I think probably when people think about succulent plants, the first group that comes into mind are cactus, true cacti. The term succulent is a term that's just used for any type of plant that is capable of storing water somewhere in its body to allow it to get through dry periods. And the storage can be in the root system, so we can have a very enlarged and developed root system. It can be in the stems, so we can have a big fleshy stem. Or in many plants, the water storage is in fleshy, thickened leaves as well.
Okay.
So it just depends upon the plant where they store the water. We oftentimes think of succulent plants as being desert dwellers, and that's where many of them are because of the small amount of rainfall that they get there. But there are actually cacti and succulents which are adapted to wetter climates as well. A couple of years ago, I was on a trip down into eastern Brazil, and it was an area that gets about 70 inches of rainfall a year, which is a lot more than what we get here in Wisconsin. And in areas that got a lot of drainage or that had rocky soil, just an abundance of different types of succulent plants. So that 70 inches of rainfall would come during about 3 or 4 months of the year, and then it'd be dry the rest of the year. So these plants come from all over, and there's about 60 or 65 different plant families that have succulents in them, and the cacti are just one of those families. So the term cactus is used to describe one particular family of plants that happen to be succulents, but there are many, many other groups as well.
Well, Cherie in Port Wayne has a question or comment for you, so let's go there. Hi, Cherie.
Hi. I'm so glad you have this gentleman on. I'm hoping he has the answer to save my aloe vera and my sansevieria. Both of these plants have very healthy leaf growth, and the aloe vera has a nice large spray of leaves. Neither one of them can stand up on their own. They just don't seem to want to grow roots. I've tried deep watering only for the last year. They're in a bright indirect south window. What am I doing wrong?
So what you mean they don't stand up there on their own? They just
they have to have sticks to make them stand up.
So they're weak stemmed. The bright window, is that, would that be a south facing window?
It's south, but they're not right in the sunlight.
Okay. Both sansevierias can tolerate lower light conditions, but in nature, oftentimes you'll see them in bright sun. My problem with sansevierias is when I grow them indoors during the wintertime and then move them outside, they have a tendency to burn. The leaves have a tendency to burn.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give them a little bit more light, they'll probably have stronger growth. And the same with the aloe vera as well. In nature, aloe vera is growing out in absolutely full sun and gets totally baked. Now you can't take your plant that's been a house plant and immediately move it into those types of conditions, or once again, you'll get some burning of the leaves, which it'll eventually grow out of. But the soil condition and the watering is certainly another factor. Succulents generally like to have very well-drained soil. They don't like to have a root system which is continuously moist. They like water. They need water throughout their growth period, which is mostly in the summertime. But the soil matrix itself should be very well drained with a lot of some sort of a granular material in there so that it allows for good drainage. The pots should definitely have holes in the bottom. If you have saucers under those pots, the saucers need to be drained after the water collects in the saucers. Otherwise, the bottom of the soil will continuously stay moist. So watering is a very, very key factor in keeping these plants alive. The good thing here is that both plants are still alive, because oftentimes if we have poor soil and kind of poor watering behavior, we can lose plants very, very quickly.
Interesting. Thank you very much. I hope this helps. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. And we turn to Don in La Crosse next. Don, hello to you.
How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a sago palm my kids gave me last summer, and the thing was doing really great. And it came in a pot, but didn't have any drain holes in it, and the leaves were starting to turn yellow on it. So I took it, transplanted it into a pot that had drains in the bottom of it, and the leaves still kept going brown on me. In fact, they're all of them are brown now, and I've got them downstairs in my basement underneath fluorescent lights right now. I was trying to get it back.
And when did the last leaves kind of go? Was that over the winter time?
Yeah.
Sago palms, well, first of all, it may take a while to get that root system reestablished. When you repotted it, did the roots look good?
Yeah, they look really, they were nice and white. So.
Okay, well, then that shouldn't be a problem. But it's good that you put it in a pot with drainage, because that's going to be essential. Sago palms or cycads generally come from a little bit more tropical areas than many of our succulents do, although sometimes we can see them growing side by side in nature. So they really need similar sorts of conditions as succulent plants. Our sago palms at home usually start to leaf out in early spring.
Okay.
So they only put out one flush of leaves a year, or if they don't feel that they need new energy, maybe every couple of years. And it's normal for the old leaves to senesce and die back after they've been around for a couple, 3 years on the plant. So if you were to have purchased a plant by mail, for example, and it was sent to you, oftentimes those fronds or those leaves would have been pruned off for shipping purposes, and then you just have to sit and kind of wait until it leafs out again. I wouldn't give it a tremendous amount of water during this period of time because the leaves are important in transpiration and getting rid of that extra soil moisture through the root system, but water it periodically, and it may take a while. Sometimes a newly introduced plant from a nursery may even take a couple of years before it actually leafs out once the root system is reestablished. So just keep an eye on it. Water it periodically, but don't keep it continuously wet.
Because I was on our basement the other day, and it was pretty dry on the top, and I stuck my finger in it probably about two knuckles, and it was pretty dry down there, too.
Yeah, once it dries out, then it's okay to water it again, but don't let the soil stay continuously wet during this period, because it's really the leaves of a plant that allow the root system to take the moisture out of the pot through transpiration. And if there's no leaves on the plant, then that's a difficult situation. And those roots just kind of sit there in that moist soil then.
There you go. Thanks a lot for calling, Don. Appreciate your call. I got a Facebook comment from Mary Beth, who says, my son loves cactus plants, and for the past 2 years, we've kept them in a north bathroom. No direct sunlight and not much indirect. They are happy and healthy, but I don't know why.
I don't know why either. These plants, there are a lot of cacti which can tolerate a little bit lower light conditions, especially the smaller species, which in nature oftentimes grow underneath other plants or in cracks and rocks and in places like that. One of the best things to do for a succulent plant, if you have to keep it in a low light situation, is to not water it very often, because if you water it, it will want to grow, and then it will grow very unnaturally. It will get very slender and elongate stems and elongate leaves, and it'll start to get droopy, and it just won't be happy. Now that doesn't. I'm not saying don't water it, but like once a year, it's going to need more, it's going to need more water than that. But generally speaking, these plants will like more light than what it sounds like those plants are getting.
We have Brenda in Clintonville next. Hi, Brenda. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am a novice to cacti. Recently got one for a gift. And there are two cactus in the same pot, so I'm wondering how to take good care of them. My first question is, when should they be repotted, and what type of soil will they need, and how often should they be watered?
Three very good questions. First of all, let me ask you a question. Did it look like the little planter that has the two plants in it? Was that done commercially, or was that done by the person who gave you the plants?
It was done commercially at a florist.
Okay. One of the concerns that we have with some of these plants that are in planters like that is that the soil mix in the planter is really designed more for keeping the plants in place while those planters are shipped around the country. And so oftentimes the soil mix isn't the best. What these plants really like is a nice, loose, well-drained soil. And so if you feel that soil and it feels a little hard and rocky, then it would probably be best to repot those plants into a nicer mix for them. The other question I have is, are there drain holes in the planter?
No.
Then that's another real big problem with some of these commercial planters, because the tendency with many people is to treat cacti like regular houseplants and water them on a weekly basis or so. But these plants just cannot tolerate that much moisture. And so you'll get an accumulation of moisture in the pot, and the root system will eventually die, and then the plants themselves will die. So what I would suggest doing is to not water these very much at all for the next maybe month or two. But when we get in towards the end of March is a good time to transplant cacti. And at that point in time, Simply take them out of the plants that they're in. Find some nice pots that you like. And they can be any type of pot, plastic or ceramic or whatever, as long as they have drain holes. Many of the better garden centers will carry a cactus and succulent plant mix. Generally speaking, those mixes are kind of half good. You should really add some additional drainage material even to those mixes. And we think about cactus growing in the desert in sand. They can tolerate that in nature, but they can't tolerate that in pots. And so we don't recommend using sand in a planting mix, but you want something a little bit coarser. So something like sponge rock, perlite, something like that that'll give a little bit more airiness to the soil. I go, when I am making potting mix, I go down to the local feed co-op and I buy a bag of poultry grit, which is what they feed to chicken and turkeys so they can put that in their crop to digest their food. And that's just the right size to add some additional drainage capacity. So that's another thing that we're fortunate here in Wisconsin. We've got feed co-ops all over the place. So,
yeah.
So even some place like Farm and Fleet will carry something like that. So was that all the questions?
Yes, wonderful. Actually, I'll take that back. When you say don't water it much for the next 1 or 2 months, what would be
would be about right? Yeah, what are you recommending?
Maybe a light watering once every 2 to 3 weeks. And don't worry about that if you think that that's keeping them on the dry side. It's better, considering the type of pot and soil that they're in, it's better to keep them on the dry side right now. These plants are adapted in nature to sometimes survive 8 or 10 months without any moisture whatsoever. So, you know, a couple of months with a couple light waterings will be absolutely no problem to them.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Brenda. Talking about succulents today, indoor and outdoor succulent plants, with Dan Maher, Emeritus Professor of Entomology and lover and expert on succulent plants. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our on-air producer, on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you listening in here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller with my guest Dan Maher as we talk with him about caring and using succulents indoors and out. And I think we have one open line left. We can get you on at 1-800-642-1234. And email at talk@wpr.org. Email from Sandra. She says, thanks for talking about this. I have a succulent that's a green pointy leaf donkey tail. I have 4 varieties of donkey tail-like plants where the needle-like leaves fall off easily. For the past several years, they get fuzzy mold leaves that kind of rot off. I'm careful not to overwater, but it always keeps coming back. Also, my tubular jade keeps getting rust-like patches on it. So a couple of different issues there. Do you know what she's talking about with this donkey tail?
Probably. There's a real problem with succulent plants because we don't have very many common names.
Oh.
And so people who grow them usually use the scientific names, unfortunately. There's about 10,000 different types of succulents, and there's probably only about 100 or 200 different types of common names associated with them. But generally, donkey's tail refers to a type of sedum, actually.
Oh.
Many of our listeners will probably think of sedums as hardy succulents that we can grow here in Wisconsin, but a lot of sedums are actually from tropical areas, and the donkey tails, or burrow's tails, or they're sometimes called, are actually from Mexico, and they're not hardy at all. And they grow nicely as hanging basket plants. But these are very touchy. Usually what the dropping of leaves signifies with a donkey's tail is not enough water during the growing season. Now, that can be caused by 2 different things. One is that it may actually not be enough water, and they do need a little bit more water for good growth, especially in the summertime. The other thing is that if they've been given too much water and the roots have rotted, then the stems are not getting any water from the soil. So I think it's probably time for her to look at that and just to determine what type of soil she's got and what her watering regime might be. As far as the jade plant with the tubular leaves on it, that may be some sort of a type of fungus. I'm not really sure. I'm not familiar with rust-colored patches on jade plants, so not sure what that might be, but it might also be an environmental condition. I would recommend to people who have jade plants, if they can move them out into brighter conditions during the summertime and get them out of the shady office or you know, the living room or wherever they're in. Jade plants are really full sun plants. It's an interesting term that we use, jade plant. Jade, of course, is green in color. In nature, jade plants are actually reddish in color because of the sunlight that they're getting. So whenever I see a green jade, even though it looks healthy, I'm thinking these aren't the best conditions for it. So oftentimes if we can move these out into the sun during our summer months and let them get our summer thunderstorms and whatnot, they love that type of condition, and oftentimes they'll improve their appearances.
You know, talking about sun, John in Madison emailed and said, I put my Crisula outside of a south-facing window for the first time last year, and it got sunburned. Is there anything you can do about it after the fact? Or?
Well, it depends here on the species of Crassula. Crassula is a genus of succulents that are related to our sedums, more of an old world genus. They're very common in southern Africa, for example. A jade plant is actually a Crassula. It's in that group. But there are hundreds of different types of these, and some of them are very, very miniature plants, and others grow almost into trees. So it depends a little bit upon which one that he has. But generally speaking, with Crassulas, as they get older, they normally lose their older leaves and drop these as they get new stem growth. So if you do have sunburnt leaves, then it may take a couple of years, but with new growth, stems are still good, you'll get new leaves growing on them. But it's really a good lesson for us that many of these plants we do grow indoors. We have to grow them indoors during the winter time because they don't tolerate our winters. So we put them outside in the summertime. It's best to put them into full sun gradually. So put them under the shade of a tree to begin with, or a little bit on the shady side of a house, and gradually move them into the bright sun conditions. So by the end of June or middle of July, they should be able to tolerate full sun pretty well.
On to Mary in Whitewater. Mary, hi. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, Dan. I have a small desert garden outdoors. It's all sand and stones, and I call it my desert garden, and I only plant succulents there. I don't want any cacti, and I don't want any sedum there. And I purchased those tiny little miniature succulents that some of the box stores sell for indoor terrariums, and I gradually move them out. And they're just beautiful there, and I'm so proud of that little garden. And during the fall, these little plants kind of turn red and brown, and they last until below freezing, and then at some point they just don't make it. So I start all over. But in the meantime, I also have a volunteer donkey tail spurge, which is the perennial, and I had purchased several donkey tail spurge just for my regular perennial garden, and I just started pulling them out because they have terrible, their seeds just go everywhere and the babies come up everywhere. So I've been pulling them out. But there's this one donkey tail spurge that got into my desert garden, and I walked out just before the program. He's just doing beautiful. The snow didn't bother him. The low temperatures didn't bother him. Of course, everything else is dead. So I was wondering if you could recommend perennial succulents that are small, not maybe they could be sedums, not cacti, that would do just as well as my donkey tail spurge and make it through the winter, but would be small.
I would encourage you to move to Arizona. Seriously, we are significantly challenged by our winter conditions here in Wisconsin, simply because most succulent plants are adapted to parts of the world that don't have as wet and as cold of winters as we do. You mentioned that you didn't want sedums. Is that what you said?
I prefer not to have sedums, although some of those small succulents that I planted may have been in a sedum family, and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
But they're very tiny. Like those stone, the succulents that look like stones?
Yes.
I love them.
If I'm thinking of the same plant that you're thinking of, they're not really sedums. They're in a totally different plant family. If they look like split rocks or they look like stones, those are in a totally different family.
Are they succulents?
They are succulents, yes.
Thought.
Yeah. There are lots of hardy sedums, and if you do a internet search for hardy sedums, you'll find that there are some that are really very, very choice. And, you know, there are a lot that are kind of weedy, like you suggest, and they kind of take over things after a while.
Yeah.
But there's some very choice both species and hybrids that are out there.
Okay.
Another group, which my wife and I really like in our little rock garden, we have a combination rock garden, but it has quite a few cacti and succulents in it, are the sempervivums, or the hen and chicks.
Oh, yeah.
And, again, there are many, many different types. And some of these are just very, very choice and very interesting little miniatures that you can grow out there. And they come in a variety of colors, both leaf colors and flower colors, from white to yellow to pink, and leaves everywhere from almost a whitish cream color to a deep, deep purple. And so you have a lot of choices there to work with.
Yeah, I have a few of those, and a few of them just all of a sudden took over. They crawl everywhere.
They can do that, but again, if you do an internet search, you can probably find some very nice things. We have several that stay, you know, they pretty much stay where you put them. As far as other succulents, there's relatively few. There are a few hardy cacti, smaller cacti, that are modestly hardy here. But if you want to avoid those, there are actually some members of that rock plant family that you mentioned earlier that are from the high mountain regions of southern Africa, where they do get snow and they do get some cold weather, usually not as severe and usually not as wet as we have it. And some of those are available if you do an internet search for hardy succulents. You may find a list of some of those as well. The Flower Factory, which has a big catalog and is south of Madison here, they have a tremendous listing of hardy succulents. And we've tried some of those in our garden here in Madison, and some of them have actually survived for several winters now. So I'm encouraged that there may be a few of those species that would work for you. But I would do an internet search for hardy succulents and see what you can come up with. The problem with the term hardy is that people in Arizona use that term too, because their temperature sometimes gets down to 26 or 28 rather than, you know, 26 or 28 below. So if you hop around from nursery to nursery, make sure that they give an indication as just to how hardy those plants are.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling, Mary. Appreciate it. The Flower Factory. Well, that's a fun place to visit in the, during the growing season, isn't it?
You spend a whole day there easily and a lot of money.
Yes, a lot of money. Chris in Green Bay, hello to you.
Hi, you guys.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I have questions, or a question about sedums. I didn't realize there was a difference. I'm talking about Autumn Joy sedum.
Yep.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. I help take care of our church gardens. And we found that the whole plant, some of them were by fall laying on the ground, and you could literally pull the whole thing up, and there would be no little rosettes there, or maybe a few around the edge. Some of them were standing upright, and they still pulled out when you went to cut them back. Is that bugs, or is it the wet weather that we had?
It is very possible that it was the wet weather. Our garden sedums are like most other succulents in nature, they develop in areas that have very, very good soil drainage, oftentimes on the slopes of hills or mountains, or in areas that have very rocky soil so that they get good soil drainage. And if you have a heavy clay soil, or if it's in a low area where moisture can accumulate, then the root system just isn't going to do very well. The other thing that is common with that particular sedum and some of our other more upright shrubby sedums, bigger sedums, is that the stems do fall over, and usually that's associated with shady conditions. We see that in our own yard. For example, the exact same variety that's growing out in full sun, the stems will be upright.
Right.
But the couple of plants that are under a birch tree will always, and it's just that they're not getting enough sun to get have very heavy, strong stem growth. So those are a couple of possibilities. If the plants have grown there for many years and have done okay, and it was just the rainfall from last year, then I would say that chances are those plants will come back this year, and they may be good for another several years.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be a water drainage problem there.
There you go.
I did notice some pill bugs, but pill bugs are just everywhere. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, but pill bugs oftentimes indicate an excess of moisture, so because they like moist areas. So, and again, with that particular sedum, which has kind of a dense canopy and will hold the moisture around the base of the plant, and if you already have moist soil conditions, that very well could be what the problem was last year.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for calling.
I have a couple of other things I'd like to mention. One is sedums. I've had really good luck with sedums in pots. They come back every year, and it's really nice to have stuff coming back and not having to replant all the time. Just the typical sedums from, your area. And another thing I found is not to plant hens and chicks together. A lot of them tend to crossbreed, sex happens in the garden kind of thing, and they all end up looking the same, except the spider web. The spider web seems to hold on to its own, but a lot of the other hens and chicks just kind of all look the same after
a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about that?
Well,
Dan,
that's very possible.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right that things bugs do. Bees fly around in the garden, and you can get hybrids. And the only way of really managing that is to make sure that those plants that you have purchased or acquired some way that you really like the character of, that those original plants maintain themselves in good condition. And you start seeing volunteers come up, and if you think that they look pretty average, we'll just weed them out.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for calling. Kim in River Falls, you are next. Hi, Kim.
Hello. My son is getting married in August, and his fiance brought me a picture of a bridal bouquet, and it looked like it had a blue-green succulent. I thought maybe it was a hens and chicks.
Yeah.
And she wants me to grow them, and I'm wondering if you have any idea what I should look for and what kind of soil to put them in.
Yeah, that could be a toughie. It could be hens and chicks. There are some that do have blue-green foliage. Another group that's very popular, which is actually kind of closely related, it's in the same plant family, is a group from Mexico, which are called the echeverias.
Can you spell it?
Yes, so that's echeveria.
Okay.
And these are very, very beautiful. Oftentimes they have beautifully colored foliage, and they grow in kind of a rosette pattern like a hen and chick does. In fact, when I grew up in Southern California, when we talked about hens and chicks, we talked about echeverias. Now, these are not hardy outdoors here in Wisconsin, so these would have to be grown in pots in good lighting conditions. Now, if you did an internet search for echeverias, you'll find lots and lots of pictures of different types of them, and you may find something that's very similar to what has been shown to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I... if I were to plant them outside, would, if I wanted them for August, could I just plant them? Because she wants them in her bridal bouquet, so it didn't wouldn't matter if they come back or not.
Yeah, so this the wedding is this year?
Yep, it's in August.
Yeah. Getting enough growth on them may be difficult. What you might do is to try to find a nurseryman who has the what you need and ask what the price would be in quantity. I don't know how many that you would want. If you want just a few, it's probably not going to be an issue because these plants, when they're sold as starter plants, are usually only a few dollars a piece unless it's some new hybrid or something that's very popular. But you could grow them outdoors. That would not be a problem. Grow them outdoors, grow them in a sunny location, in relatively well-drained soil, and they should do relatively well for you up until August when you want to harvest them for the wedding.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And good luck with the wedding, too, Kim. I know you're not the one getting married, but it probably feels like it to you. Amy in West Bend, it's on to you now. Hi, Amy.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I've really enjoyed the show.
Thanks.
So I have to tell you that succulents sound like my kind of plant because I can't tell you how many houseplants I've killed for forgetting to water them. So I was hoping that you guys could recommend a succulent for someone who just wants to get started. And I have really low light, so it would be a low light type of condition. And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
A bit of a tough question. There are succulents which tolerate lower light conditions, but not really low light conditions. Again, most all of them grow in parts of the world where they get a fair amount of sunshine, and even if they're growing under some shrubbery, that shrubbery is usually, they'll usually get at least a good intensity of indirect light that filters through the leaves and branches of the overgrowing shrubbery. So it's difficult. They're not like ferns or African violets or something like that that tend to tolerate less light, lower light conditions. There are some species of succulents that tend to stay small. One of the ones that I'm thinking of that may be good for you is what we call the sansevierias, and these are sometimes called snake plants. There's a variety of common names. They're very commonly used in interior landscaping, so you see them in banks and you see them in shopping malls. They're kind of an upright, spiky, strap-like leafed plant, and they come in many, many different types of forms, and many of the ones that have been kind of developed for the houseplant trade will tolerate low-light conditions fairly well. What I would encourage you to do, if you can, is to move these plants outdoors again in the summertime, where they can get at least 2 or 3 months of fairly good summer light, and that really makes a difference in their health and their appearance over a long period of time. So I don't know if you have that opportunity, if you can move them out onto a deck or a patio or something like that. That would be good for you. But the sansevierias tend to be pretty forgiving. And if you do give them enough light, they actually do bloom periodically, which is a lot of people don't realize if they keep them as houseplants. Usually they don't get enough light to bloom. But they have an interesting spike, tall spike of white flowers on them when they do bloom. So that might be one. If you need smaller plants, there is a group of South African plants which grow pretty well called Haworthias. That's Haworthia. That's a genus. And these are small rosette-forming plants that, oftentimes live under other vegetation, and so they can tolerate some shade. Put them in as sunny of a windowsill as you have so that they get as much indirect light as possible. And I would try maybe 3 or 4 different types. They're not very expensive. Try 3 or 4 different types to begin with, and just to see which ones may tolerate those light conditions better. They're one of the groups that are oftentimes sold when some of the big box hardware stores and discount stores get in these big cartloads full of cactus and succulents. There's oftentimes a few Haworthias mixed in. But do an internet search for the term Haworthia, And you will get a lot of hits again, see a lot of pictures, and get a sense as to what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Thanks again for calling. Dan Marr, our guest today, Emeritus Professor of Entomology, succulent plant expert here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for listening in on this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dan Marr. Dan, we had an email from Amy who was wondering what's the best way to care for a night-blooming cirrus cactus. What kind of soil should it be potted in?
This is a problem with common names. There are actually several different things that kind of go by that name. The true night blooming cirrus or cereus is actually a columnar cactus in nature. It grows quite tall, many, many feet tall, and it does have a night blooming white flower on it. It's a columnar ribbed cactus, and it tends to be quite spiny. What sometimes goes by that name are what we sometimes call the epiphyllum cactus, or they're sometimes called rainforest cactus, which are a totally different type of cactus, still a true cactus, but these live up in the trees as epiphytes in rainforests. And there are many of those that have a night-blooming white flower as well. Now, if it's the former, if it's the columnar type, they're going to need a fair amount of sunshine, very bright light during the times of the year when they are moved indoors. And with a lot of these plants, it's the bright light which is really necessary to induce them to flower. So for a lot of our succulents that don't bloom very well, oftentimes it's because of poor light conditions. As far as soil mix, for that type of cactus, it's a good, well-drained soil mix like we talked about before. So maybe 50 or 60% of a good potting mix plus the remainder would be some sort of good drainage material that would allow the water to drain out of that pot. And just like we talked about before, the pot has to have drainage holes and not be sitting in water for a long period of time. Now, if it's one of the types of night-blooming cereus that is native to the rainforest, and these have kind of long, drooping, slender stems, sometimes flat, sometimes cylindrical stems, sometimes with weak spines, sometimes not. Again, there are many, many different types of these. These can take lower light conditions, and they also need well-drained soil, but interestingly enough, they oftentimes do very well in the same type of soil mix that we use for orchids.
Oh.
So kind of an orchid mix, for example. And if you see these things in nature in South America or Central America or whatever, and you are walking around in a rainforest and you look up and you see the tremendous variation of plants that are growing up in the canopy as epiphytic plants just fastened onto the branches of the trees, you'll see some of these epiphytic cacti growing right next to orchids, right next to bromeliads, yeah, and a variety of things all growing together. So that type of soil mix would work very, very well if it is one of the more rainforest types of cacti.
Let's turn to Arlene in New Berlin next. Hi, Arlene.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy talk radio anyway. I wish I could be on every single day. I have two questions. The sedum you were talking about, are you talking the kind of plant that's outside with the flowers on it?
Well,
Or the succulent sedum?
All sedums are succulent to some extent. So
okay.
Some of them have fleshier leaves than others. Some have.
Oh, I like the Autumn Joy.
Yes, that is a true succulent. If you feel the leaf, the leaf is thickened and the leaf is designed to help store moisture during dry periods.
And I found out from somebody, from Melinda Myers, that if you cut the plant down in like May or June, and what I do is I take a peony support and I flip it upside down, cut the stems off on the top, and that holds up my sedum. The other question is, I have a cactus in my rock garden, and it has yellow flowers. Yellow flowers. They look tubular. And the hummingbirds, I mean, I've never seen so many hummingbirds flock to a plant in my life. Do you know what kind of cactus that is?
My brow is furrowed here.
well, you mentioned the tubular.
Yeah, the tubular part of it.
It looks like a little purple tube. Before it opens up, it looks like a little tube, and then it opens up and it's yellow, and then at night it closes up.
Now, is this a true cactus? Is it spiny?
It looks like almost rabbit ears. You know, it has round ears.
Yeah, and you're calling from Wisconsin or some other northern climate.
New Berlin.
and you know what? I don't cover it up. I don't do anything, and it blooms, and it's been spreading.
There are native. We actually have three species of native cacti here in Wisconsin.
Yes, we do.
Our native prickly pears. They have yellow flowers, but they're not tubular. I'm not sure what you might have. Once we leave the hardy prickly pears behind, we don't have very many. How tall is the plant?
It's really low to the ground, and it's spreading like an evergreen.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, tubular in the sense that it's maybe about a half an inch long, the flower, and it's kind of like about the size of my first knuckle on my finger, you know. It's and then the flower just opens up.
Does it come out in clusters or does it come out singly?
It comes out singly, but there are many flowers on it. I've got to be careful after the winter snow that the buds don't fall off of it, because otherwise then I lose the flowers.
I'm not connecting all the dots here. I can't tell you what you might have there.
If you ever get a picture of it, shoot a picture to me, and I'll forward it on to Dan, and or even put it up on our Facebook page, the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. If you've got a photo that you could upload, that'd be great. We can take a look at it, and if Dan can't figure it out and I can't figure it out, there are probably another reader on the Facebook page that will be able to figure it out.
Yeah, there's a recipe for potting soil for cactuses I found. One part potting soil, two parts peat moss or compost, and one part sharp builder's sand. And then it says to add a scoop of bone meal.
Yeah, now if you use builder sand is fine because it has a little bit coarser material in it, but I use a window screen to screen out the finest material. You don't want fine sand in your potting mix because it kind of clogs up the potting mix. The other thing about peat is there are tremendous arguments amongst cactus and succulent enthusiasts about peat. Peat is a wonderful addition to your potting soil as long as you don't leave it in the pot for more than about 2 years. The peat will decay, and it will form a really ugly mess in there. So if you repot your plants fine regularly, peat is fine. Otherwise, use some sort of other organic matter. One of the products that's being used a fair amount right now in place of peat is actually a renewable product, where peat is a mined product. It's not renewable, and it's called coir, C-O-I-R, and it's coconut fiber, and it's a byproduct of the coconut harvesting industry, and it's been used a fair amount in cactus and succulent soil mixes. But again, it's something that you want to use fairly sparingly. Organic matter tends to hold on to moisture, and again, that's kind of a bad thing for a lot of succulent plant mixes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Amy in southwest Wisconsin's Christmas cactus develop some reddish, wrinkly, wilty-looking leaves. Will they improve, or should she just cut them off, cut those off? Or are they supposed to be red and healthy, like a healthy jade plant?
They will. If you have, here again, we have a problem because there are so many hybrids of Christmas cacti that are out there. The term holiday cactus or Christmas cactus, These things are hybridized from several different parentages. And so you can get some with a little bit greener stems on them. By the way, those aren't leaves. Those are actually stems. They're flat like leaves, but they are stems. And some of them can be a little bit more reddish if they're in good light. The fact that they're shriveling makes me a little bit concerned that maybe it's not getting quite enough moisture, so that may be a stress factor. I would say that if it's a plant that you've had for quite a few years and you're growing it under the same conditions, then it's probably not something to be concerned about. I would wait maybe about a month and a half or 2 months before you actually did any pruning on it. We like to start the pruning kind of at the beginning of the growing season, which is in the springtime. But I suspect if the lower stems still look good, that the plant is probably still healthy.
There we go. Dan Maher, our guest today, as we talk with him about succulent plants, caring for them both indoors and out. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dan Maher, Emeritus Professor of Entomology at UW-Madison, and probably a grower of succulent plants for about 50 years. And he's got hundreds of them in his own home. He and his wife care for them, and he knows a lot about succulent plants. And that's our topic, caring for and using succulent plants indoors and out. Teresa in Heartland has a question for you, Dan, so let's go right there. Hi, Teresa.
Hello. I have an aloe plant that is really getting huge, and I know I have to repot it again, too. And I was wondering if, because I think years ago when I had some other ones that I had started new plants from it, do you cut off a piece of it? Do you, and which end do you plant? Can you start new plants that way?
Very easily. Is this aloe vera or is it a different type of aloe? Do you know?
It's aloe vera.
Aloe vera, yeah.
I don't know. Is there different varieties of aloe vera, too, I was wondering?
There may be. There are some differences in flower colors, but aloe vera is an interesting plant. It's not exactly for sure where we know where it comes from in nature. It's been used by humans so long that it's been moved all over the world and naturalized in different places. But, yes, it... Aloe vera does grow as a clump-forming aloe, which means it will put off offsets or baby stems from the base, and they will continue to grow into full-size plants. Now, when you unpot that plant, you may see a couple different things. One, you may see stems that are just attached to the older stems without any roots on them. You can just take a sharp knife or a pruning, just a pruners, and cut that off where it joins the plant. If you do that, let that cut dry and heal for a week or two before you put that into a rooting mix of some sort. And you can just put it in whatever type of well-drained potting mix that you want to, and they will eventually form roots. You don't want to water them an awful lot until the roots start to form. As big as an aloe vera is, if you're trying to repot one of the taller ones, you may actually have to prop it up a little bit with a stick or something like that because it's likely to fall over until
it fell on the floor. It was sitting on the table and it fell on the floor. Nothing, no train went by or nothing went by to vibrate the house. And all of a sudden, I hear it fall on the floor and broke off one of the individual plants. And so you do it for the part that you just break it off right to where it's attached.
You bet. And important
that end you after it's healed over after a week.
A week or two, and in fact you can leave it longer. If you left it a month, it wouldn't hurt it at all. And then just put the stem end down, the cut end down into a potting mix. Mm-hmm. Now the other possibility when you're repotting it,
I tried doing it. It was probably because I didn't let it heal over. I just did it when it was, just cut.
Oh, no. You don't want to do that.
And it never worked, and I couldn't figure out why. I remember you doing it years ago with a different plant. So
sometimes it's easier. Many of these aloes that branch from the base, or the branches are close enough to the base that they will root themselves into the potting mix. And if you cut one off that's already got roots on it, then your job's, you know, 90% done.
Mm. Oh, so you can cut it off where there's roots
already.
Yeah,
if there's into the plant.
If there's roots attached to that particular stem, you still want it to dry for at least a week or so that cut end dries. Otherwise, what happens is if the cut end doesn't dry properly, microorganisms that are in the soil can move into the plant and actually cause it to rot.
Mush it up.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Teresa, for calling. Renee in East Troy, we're on to you now. Hi, Renee.
Hi. I hope you can help me. When I was a little girl, about 50 years ago, my grandfather had a huge Christmas cactus in his main room, and it was just huge, like 3 feet around, covered with blooms. It was just spectacular. And when he passed away, my mom inherited it, and slowly over the years, it got smaller and smaller and weaker and weaker, I guess you could say. And now she's passed, and I've inherited it, and I just want it to live. It's, you know, probably 75 years old or something like that. And at the moment, it's, I've repotted it into what was called cactus soil at the store, but the leaves are all very shriveled and they just look very sad.
How long have you had it yourself?
I've had it 5 years. My mom had it probably 25 years, and I can remember as a little girl, it bloomed for her a few times after she inherited it, but it stopped blooming after several years, and it went from that big pot down to sort of a medium-sized pot. Now I have it, I've cut it in half, because I have two daughters, and I'd sure like to give them a Christmas cactus of their grandfather's at some point in time, but I'm just not doing something right.
this is a very common problem, and like you say, Christmas cactus are oftentimes family heirlooms, and it's not unusual to hear them being passed down from generation to generation because they are so beautiful. In the 5 years that you've had it, has it ever bloomed for you?
Oh, no. It's always been very sickly, and instead of these fat, succulent leaves or stems, they're real floppy and limp and shriveled.
The problem that you're having is that for some reason the plant is not getting moisture or nutrients out of the soil. When you repotted the plant, how did the root system look?
I'd say it looked healthy. I think they're kind of brownish.
If you cut into healthy cactus roots, they're like any other healthy root. They should be whitish inside. And so easy thing to do when you transplant something like that is just to run your fingernail along under your thumbnail along it and scratch the dirt and the surface layer off. And if it looks nice and white inside, then those are healthy roots. If it looks brown inside, then you have a largely dead root system. Now, we can still probably revive that plant, but it's going to require taking it out of the pot once again and, again, looking at the root system to see if it is indeed healthy or if it's a poor root system. If it's a poor root system, you need to cut out as much of the dead stuff as you possibly can because that's going to have microorganisms which aren't particularly good for the plant, and it's going to have organic matter which is going to hold water around, and new roots that try to form are going to form very, very slowly. So prune all that back so you get to nice, healthy tissue, and then, again, let it set. Don't worry about letting it set out of the soil for about a week to allow all that root pruning to heal, and then put it back again into a well-drained soil mix. And if you go on the internet sites and look for Christmas cactus, there will be several different types of recipes that are all very similar in nature as to a good soil mix for Christmas cactus. And I would just encourage you to follow one of those. Again, you want a fairly well-drained type of mix for that. The other thing I would encourage you to do at this point is to take some of the stems, maybe not the two or three joints at the very end, but go down a little bit further where there's still some juiciness and tissue to some of the older stems, and take a few cuttings of that. And again, let those cuttings heal off for a week or so, and then put them in their own rooting mixes. Just in case you do end up losing the old original plant, you still will have the plant. It's the same plant, and you kind of get the pleasure of seeing it develop all over from new again, the way mm-hmm. that your grandparents did when they first got their first cutting of it. So I would do that just to be on the safe side as well.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Paul in Clintonville, on to you. Hi, Paul.
Afternoon, Larry. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
My pleasure, my friend. I'd like to talk to your friend from Southern California there. I spent the first 18 years of my life there. Along our coastlines, where I surfed as a kid, we had a lot of something called ice plant. Maybe he's familiar with it. Has a small chrysanthemum-like bloom, either white or purple, something like that. And I'd kind of like to get a clipping somewhere without going back home to do it. And if I can do that, how would I root it? How would I care for it in a house situation here in Clintonville?
Good question. Yeah, ice plant is very common along the coasts of Southern California, as well as along tropical and semi-tropical coasts around the world. There are several different types of it. They're actually native to Southern Africa. And again, if you do an internet search and you just look for ice plant family, you'll find all kinds of them. It's one of the largest plant families that have succulents in them. There's 2,000 different types of succulent plants in the ice plant family. The ones that you saw tend to be kind of trailing with fairly large succulent leaves on them. You're right, they come in a variety of flower colors from white to yellow to pink to purple. They are available commercially if you just do an internet search for nurseries that sell ice plants. You will certainly find it. If you still have connections in Southern California, ask somebody to go down to the beach and it's not like you're taking a native plant from habitat. Oftentimes ice plants are considered to be invasive weeds when they're out on the sand dunes or the beaches down there, and to send it to you. And the cuttings are very, very easy to root. You just lay them on the soil surface. But keep in mind that it is a succulent plant. In Southern California, where you saw it along the beaches, it was in the full, bright Southern California sunshine. And that's going to require that type of treatment here for it to grow its best. So you'd want to grow it outdoors during the summertime when there's a chance of frost, moving it back indoors into a sunny location.
There you go. Good luck. Thanks, Paul, for calling. Krista in New Brighton, Minnesota, you are next. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I bought a sedum plant that had a variegated leaf and put it in my garden, and over the last couple of years, the leaves have turned completely white. And I'm wondering what I can do to get the coloring back, or do I need to start all over again?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think I know the sedum that you're talking about. And it's not unusual for these variegations that we see in certain types of plants. They arise spontaneously or naturally, and then plant propagators will specifically pick parts of the plant that have the best variegation. But unfortunately, once we have a plant, we don't have very good control over it. Usually what happens is just the opposite. A plant that we purchase as a variegated plant will revert back to its natural state, which is a pure green plant. Now, in your case, it's not too unusual for a variegation to take dominance. And the unfortunate part of that is that the white coloration is not photosynthetic. So that part of the leaf is not producing any energy for the plant whatsoever. And if the white material tends to become exclusive, then the plant will get weaker and weaker, and you'll eventually lose it. Now, what oftentimes happens with these sedums is that as they put up new sprouts from the base, sometimes those will be pure white. Some of them will be green and white, more green variation with them. And if you see some stems that are more like what you want it to look like, then I would simply take some cuttings of those stems and root them up. They're very easy to root. Just take a cutting and move it somewhere else into the garden, in the same sort of area, put it in the ground, and it will root automatically. And then it will more likely stay with that type of original variegation, then reverting back to the white, to the total white. But you may have to do this periodically.
All right.
Well, I thank you. It had a beautiful pink flower, and it was very unusual with the pure white leaves.
Yeah.
But I did like the variegation in the that went along with the rest of the garden.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, Krista. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. We had an email from Bonnie in Whitefish Bay. Last year I bought a packet of mixed cacti seeds, but never started them. If they're still viable, I'd like to start them this year. Any tips?
Yeah, interesting. You can start cactus seeds, and they may still be viable. You may have lost some viability, but some of them may still be good. Cactus seed in nature oftentimes lasts for a long time because sometimes it's a long time between rains in the desert. So I would go ahead and pot those up and try to germinate them. And now is a really good time to do that because the germination will occur and you'll start getting a little growth. And then as spring comes along and the days lengthen, it really will promote better growth. If you wait until midsummer, then sometimes we just don't have a long enough growing season here for them to do really well. So now's a good time to do it. A couple different ways. You can take any type of seed starting mix that you want to, commercial seed starting mix that you can get from your garden center, and you can just put them in that and kind of keep them uniformly moist like you would virtually any other type of plant. And cactus seedlings, when they're in their first year or two and they're very, very small, they need more water. We don't like them to dry out during that period of time because they have a very, very weak root system, and if that weak root system dries out, it's very hard for those tiny little seedlings to start a new root system. The other way, which is kind of very popular with cactus growers, sounds really unusual, but it works very, very well, and that's to get some pure dry peat from the garden center and put that in a pot. Make sure the pot has good drainage holes in it. And I'm not talking about the peat that looks like it's just dead plant material. I'm talking about the ground-up peat that's okay. Used as a soil amendment. And put that in a pot. The peat tends to be a little bit acidic, and it tends to keep microbial growth down a bit. Moisten the soil very, very good. Sprinkle the seed on top, and then oftentimes cactus seed is very fine. Sprinkle a very fine layer of peat over that again. And then put the whole works in a plastic bag and seal it up like a baggie.
Ah.
Put it in a good bright location. You don't want to put it in full sun because that little bag will turn into a greenhouse and you'll cook the things inside. But you want really bright light. And you can actually leave those little seedlings develop in there for a couple of years, and they will continue to grow slowly until you have nice little seedlings that are ready to take out and plant into a regular potting mix. This is a very, very popular method amongst cactus growers to get cactus seed to germinate. Give it a try.
Yeah, why not? Give it a shot. We have Mike in Waukesha next with a question. Mike, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about what to do with growing cacti in Wisconsin in the winter. I kind of got into it a couple of years ago, and doing research on the internet, a lot of people recommended keeping it very cool and very dark for them in the winter. So last year I brought them up to our place up north and kept them kind of in the basement where we keep the heat low, and had a great success with several of them flowering very well this past spring. And so is that something you recommend? I know other people kind of just leave them by maybe a window with low light and higher temperatures, and just wondering what you recommend with that.
It's kind of all over the board, and it kind of depends upon the type of cactus that you have. What you tell me is that you're keeping it in a cool basement and then they bloomed very well suggests that your plants probably came from the high Andes Mountains of South America, or possibly from our own mountains here in southern United States. And those plants do very, very well. They like to be cool in the wintertime, And it's actually the coolness that promotes the flowering in the springtime or early summer. What I don't like so much is keeping them in the dark, because they really do need to photosynthesize, and they do. The stems are green. That's photosynthetic tissue, and they will continue to try to produce energy as long as they've got some light. The day length can be shorter, and a lot of people in our part of the world up here in the upper Midwest who have to grow their plants indoors will put them under artificial lights in the basement. So they get the benefit of the cooling, but they also have either banks of fluorescent lights or even some of the high-intensity plant lights that are out there. And that gives the plants the type of light that they're used to in nature. Now, if you go with the artificial lights of any sort, put them on a timer, and you want them on a short day length, maybe eight hours of light during the wintertime. And the short day length along with the cool temperatures will help promote that blooming. So what you're doing is really quite good, but I would just give them a little bit more light in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask one other quick question?
Sure.
I know we actually have a couple species of cacti in Wisconsin, and I know Spring Green Preserve is a great place to see some of them. Can you recommend any other places to see cacti in the wild in Wisconsin? And I can take that off the air.
Mm-hmm. We have three different types, and one of them is a very common species in the United States, but it's not very common in Wisconsin. And in fact, I've never seen it in nature here in Wisconsin. The other two types are typical prickly pears, and they grow in similar areas, mostly in the southern part of the state, or the southern half of the state, I would say, and oftentimes either in sandy soils, so down like in the Spring Green area and in that area, or oftentimes on the cliffs along either the Mississippi River or the Wisconsin River down in the southern part of the state, where there are rocky outcroppings and good drainage, and you can see them along there as well. There may actually be some websites. If you kind of do an internet search for Wisconsin cacti, you might find some locations.
And actually, if you go to the DNR website, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, I think there are some state-owned properties where, you know, they know the existence and of these cacti, and you would be able to get some information on where you can go, so you don't have to worry about, you know,
private property.
So it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to do that.
And they're very spectacular when they're blooming in the springtime. Yeah, very nice.
They're very, very nice. And Paul emailed in, this just happened to do with another caller who called in about the bouquet for the wedding. The bluish plant in the bouquet might have been eucalyptus, too. So that's possibly another.
Eucalyptus leaves are bluish, but they're not succulent.
No,
so, yeah.
It's possible. Dan, a great pleasure. Would you come back and be with us again sometime?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Larry. Even though I'm retired, I'd be happy to come back.
Well, it's great to have you out of retirement momentarily for 90 minutes at least here to talk with us. Dan Marr, Emeritus Professor of Entomology. As a matter of fact, I think his retirement party is tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, or sometime pretty quickly here. Great time talking with him. Doesn't he know a lot? I'm telling you. Knows a lot about succulent plants, and we will try to get him back and be with us again. Just to let you know, coming up Monday, we'll be talking about how to keep your body away from injury, or if you're injured, how to deal with it. Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boysen will join us. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.